Hey, I'm Nick DiMatteo, and welcome to Music Is Not a Genre's Podfast. We're going to get right into it after my usual housekeeping. The episode this week is Podfast number 28, a songwriting tutorial by The Song Coach. And you'll find out who that is in a minute. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening. Listeners, go to youtube.com/@musicisnotagenre. You get a video for every episode of this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell so you know when new videos come, and like and share and all of that stuff. And watchers, go to nickdimatteo.com/musicisnotagenre. If you would rather just listen, there are links there to the main streaming services. And when you're in those streaming services, make sure to like and share and subscribe, rate and review and whatever else, follow and all of those things. All of that really does matter. And everyone, go to patreon.com/musicisnotagenre to support this podcast, my band, Wreck, and everything I do. And speaking of Wreck's new album, Kite to Camden, which has been on Bandcamp for several months, is now streaming everywhere. It dropped worldwide June 20th. Please go check out nickdimatteo.com/discography. And right there at the top, you will see Kite to Camden. Click on that. It's got links to five of the main streaming services like Apple, Spotify, YouTube, stuff like that. You're going to love this album. Please give it a listen. I guarantee you will find something there to love. And now we can get right into the topic. So this is a songwriting tutorial from The Song Coach. Let's get right to the mystery. I'm The Song Coach. And you know that because if you're following this podcast, you have heard me mention for the last several weeks that I started a song coaching service or business, and that you can go to nickdimatteo.com/songcoaching. And find out all that information, et cetera, et cetera. Some of that will be changing as I am working with someone to develop the site, et cetera. But it will still offer the same services that I will be offering indefinitely for this. So it is worth checking out. And I will keep the link up here on the video. And for those of you just listening, the link will be in the text. But again, it's nickdimatteo.com/songcoaching. And that's what this podcast is about. I'm going to kind of give you a tutorial, a primer, if you will, on how I approach songwriting and what that means for you when you choose to become my client, when you choose to work with me to help you write that song that maybe you've been sitting on for years and just couldn't figure out what to do with. You were afraid that if you started it would suck, or you just didn't know how to get to it. You thought that it was an uphill battle, et cetera, et cetera. I've done all that work for you hundreds, thousands of times over decades, and I can impart that knowledge to you. That's why I'm doing this. Also because I freaking love songwriting and collaborating and producing, if it comes to that. And I thought, well, what a great way to share my knowledge is to be able to work with people like you who might be interested in this. And so, first, kind of a disclaimer, or just a, you know, description, and that is that you're going to be getting a lot of information. It will be too much to take in. I'm going to say that right off the bat. Don't even bother getting a pen, to be honest. You can if you want, and I've got this broken down into kind of categories and sections, but it would be better for you to kind of just listen, get an idea of where I'm coming from and how I approach songwriting, and then decide if that's right for you. And if so, then go to nickdimatteo.com/songcoaching and check it out. And for those of you who aren't songwriters and aren't interested in songwriters, you're going to get a lot of cool information anyway here, and some insight into how songwriting happens, how production happens, how people approach it and how they fix problems, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of what I have done here. And of course, yes, other than me imparting this to you in a way that's hopefully entertaining and definitely informative, it is my kind of pitch to say, hey, if you're interested in working with me as a songwriting coach, this is the information you would need to know to decide that, basically. So let's get right to it. Introduction. What is songwriting? So I assume, again, if you're checking out this episode, that at some point you've at least thought about being a songwriter, or at least curious about the process. Now, if you are one of those people who thought about being a songwriter, something is inspiring you. Not everybody in the world is a songwriter. It's kind of like when you're a comedian, you're putting in all of that work to hone a set, even if it's 5-minute set. And then there are people who are funny in their regular lives and think, well, that's easy. I can do that. If you're some, and it's not the case. If you're someone who is good at rhyming or, you know, picking out melodies, creating melodies, that's wonderful. That is a great start. That is not songwriting. That is where the spark happens. And let's say you're that person and you're too conscious of it. I've always wanted to be a stand-up comic, full disclosure. And I'm too conscious of what goes into that. So I'm self-critical even before I get started. That may be you. You may be so self-critical, so conscious of what it takes to write a good song that you don't even get started on it. And that's what I am here to fix, to help you with. So the first question is, like I said, intro, what is songwriting? It sounds like an obvious question to ask, but the answer to it is at the heart of both what you want to do and how I do what I do for you. So there's music composition. You can compose scores for film, classical pieces, notation. There's musical improv, which itself is a form of on-the-spot composition. None of that is songwriting. Specifically, songwriting is very simply putting together words and melody into some sort of structure, period. Now, I know you're thinking, well, there are plenty more elements to that, and that's true. But for something to be a song, that's all it needs. Words, melody or cadence even, and some sort of structure. Now, whichever part you start with, the end result is going to have those elements, and then the additional element, whatever additional elements that we believe need to be added to that. And by the way, it doesn't matter what comes first. We're going to get to the quote-unquote rules of songwriting later on. Your goal is to write a song that you or someone else can sing, play, possibly even record, that will last for the ages in one way or another. I can help you do that for whatever song you are sitting on and give you the skills to do it for every song after that as well. And the first thing is you need your personal why, your idea, your inspiration. So part two here is the inspiration. Where do these ideas come from and what happens when they don't come? Okay. Creativity is mysterious. We know that. People say it's a voice from above or a voice from within. It's intuition. It's instinct. It's the spirit. It's a spark, however you want to describe it. And the thing is, inspiration for creation can come from absolutely any source. And I think one of the things we try to work on when I'm working with you is that don't dismiss any source. Don't let somebody say, well, it can only come strictly from within, or you're not original, or it can only come from music you love, or an artist, whatever rules they have there. No. Inspiration can come from that little voice in your head, can come from something somebody said in a certain way that makes you think, oh, that would work well in a song. That's happened to me a million times. It can come from another song you've heard, and we'll talk a little more about that here and then extensively in the course. It can come from an action, a vision. It can come from a word, right? It's an important thing to consider when inspiration strikes, and I will make you know all of those instances. I'll make sure that you are ready for when inspiration strikes, no matter where it comes from, so you don't lose that spark or ignore it. We're banning a lot of people like to, you know, writers like to have their phone next to their bed or with them or whatever, or in, you know, old school, that maybe a pen and paper, something pops into their head, they write it down. It doesn't matter if in the moment you think it sucks or you don't know what to do with it, write it down anyway. And my job is to hone that instinct so that you don't ignore those things, you don't abandon them, you don't prejudge them, etc. But what if inspiration doesn't strike? What if you've always wanted to be a songwriter and you have no ideas at all? Or you have such a small idea but don't know how to grow it? Or you have a vague, even just a notion of a subject and don't know where to begin and how to begin to make that a song? Or again, what if you have nothing and you just say, I want to write a song? There are plenty of techniques you can use to kickstart your brain and keep the momentum going even when you feel lost. You'll be surprised how easy it is to find inspiration and turn that inspiration into something concrete wherever you're starting from, I'll surprise you with how well you can get there, whether it's from nothing or the tiniest spark or more than that. The thing that will, that I think one of the things you'll love the most about what we do together is that you will start to hear, quote unquote, ideas and inspirations that maybe have always been there or always been present in your environment, and you never paid attention to them, and now you can, and now you do. But getting there to the end of the song takes work, what my dad used to call sweat equity, and we got a lot of that right now because as I am recording this, it's one of the hottest days in recent history in New York City. So there's sweat equity right there for you. So number three, part three, is perspiration. You had the inspiration. Now here's the perspiration. What do you do with that idea? Let's say you have that idea. You may have a sense of how you want it to sound even, or what style. You might have all the lyrics. You might have the chord structure and some of the flow or all of it. What do you do next? How do you make a song out of all those parts? And not just a song, but a song that works. And not just a song that works, but a great song. These are the things I do, and I can do them with you as well. It takes work. Inspiration doesn't have to turn off. But once you have that idea laid out, it has to take a back seat to the hard work of cobbling together a whole song from all of its parts, including filling in the parts you don't have, getting rid of parts that don't work, maybe switching around parts, changing little things here and there. You need to step out of writer mode and into editor and producer mode, even if you're not going to record it. In a sense, you're a producer. You'll be making lots of key decisions, and some of them will be tough. That's why you have to get out of that artist mode. The song may even change into something you didn't expect or intend, but somehow still be an expression of that original spark. That's one of the beauties of songwriting, is you know where you want the song to go, or you want what you want it to be, what you want it to state, how you want it to sound. And then you're done. And in some cases, at least, song is very different from what you intended, but somehow it expresses that original intent even better than if you had tried to make it adhere to something, you know, some strict idea of what you think it should be. So you have to do whatever it takes to shape the parts into a cohesive whole that flows. And we'll talk about flow later. No matter what that work asks of you, there will be dozens of micro steps and decisions, and any one of them can turn that okay song into a good one or a great one, or take it the other way. I can guide you through this. It's a scary thing. Oh, I make one decision can ruin a song, or that decision that you're missing out and you can't figure out that could make that song great. I know how to get you there, and I can explain step by step when choices come up, what those choices are. Listen to you. What choice do you want to make? We judge together whether that's the best choice to make and why the best choice is better than the others. And I can teach you to make those judgments eventually for yourself, so you'll be prepared to do the same thing for as many songs as you want to write. But of course, to make these kinds of judgments, you need to know what the rules of songwriting are. So this is a perfect, you know, almost haggis halfway point here in this pod fast to get to the rules. What are the do's and don'ts of songwriting? Every craft, whether it's an art thing or woodworking, has a set of parameters, a list of do's and don'ts that help you create the best working version of whatever you're making, and call them rules. So what exactly are the rules of songwriting? Where do you start? How do you know you're finished? What things do you always have to do to end up with an incredible song? I can give you three answers about what are the rules of songwriting. And answer number one, there are no rules. What makes one song work might not do it for another song. So right there, throw out any idea of this will always work. There's nothing that will always work. How you begin to write one song, lyrics first, music first, might not be how you begin the next one. Maybe you just begin with a snippet of a melody or even just a rhythm or a set of chords that you love. And we'll talk about chords later. Don't ever listen to the conventional wisdom that there's some kind of unspoken handbook that every great songwriter follows. If you've listened to enough music, you know that the variations in great songs, you can list 20 great songs from 20 different eras or 20 different genres, and they may have similarities, but in some way or another, they will be different and they will follow a different set of rules. In fact, here's what I suggest. Go get a blank book or even just a piece of paper, whatever it takes. Write down, but it has to be physical and you'll see why. Write down everything you think is true and is a rule for songwriting. Write everything down, even if you're unsure of it. And then, and this is the important step, burn it. Throw it out. Crumple it up. Toss it in the trash. Because it doesn't mean anything. But here's answer number two to the rules of songwriting. Big one for me, and I think for anyone who wants to be a great songwriter, and that is it's all about flow. Ugh. I get so excited when I hear that word because this applies to every kind of art. So I was a filmmaker for a number of years, and I worked with somebody who was very good at acting, very good at directing, very good at writing. Editing, however, was an issue in that there wasn't a flow to the editing of the film. There were parts that were great, performances, the writing, whatever, the lighting, the music, whatever. So many great parts, but the flow wasn't there, and that hampered the film to a very large degree. That can happen with songs where you have great ideas or every part of it might be great. But for a song to be great, for the whole, the song itself to be great, it has to flow from beginning to end. And flow can mean different things, but one thing it does mean is every element has to fit and fit in a way that complements the whole, basically. There are no throwaway parts to a great song. Don't shirk the intro or outro, or I'm just going to use this chord here, or that word is just fine. No. Whatever you may think of one element or another, if you can perform or listen to your song and you get that feeling of fulfillment, along with that uncanny feeling, and this is the more important feeling. Fulfillment's wonderful, but that can come from many different, you know, levels. If you can get that uncanny feeling that it works exactly as it is, and every time you go back to listen to it, you wouldn't change a thing, that's flow. That's success, plain and simple. And the more you know about songwriting, the more experience you have, the more you develop that sixth sense of when it's all coming together. You will feel the flow. I have been thrilled by the fact that every time I think that I've figured out enough, there's another level of songwriting that I can get to because I am open to feeling that flow. Because flows are different. Okay. Now, answer number three, the rules of songwriting, and I kind of alluded to this, every element matters. Every part, whether your song has a one-word lyric or a tome, two chords or 12 chords, a steady beat or multiple rhythm changes, a traditional structure or something more experimental, every element matters. Great lyrics have often been wasted because the music wasn't up to par, or vice versa. Great music with lyrics that didn't work with the music. I won't even say crappy, because lyrics that quote unquote are crappy can work with a different set of chords and be wonderful. All right. That's a judgment we don't need to make. An otherwise well-written song can be ruined by poor choices in arrangement or style or some other element. There are no global rules for what makes for good lyrics or melodies. Every individual song has its own need, but every one of those elements matters and they have to work together. So, you know, no global rules again, but flow and every element working, which they're correlated, they're important. And that's a lot to sort through, but I've done this, again, hundreds, thousands of times for myself, with other artists, with songs from dozens of genres. I can help you to process all of this information, still stay in touch with your inspiration while you're doing it, and end up with a song that you and everyone else will love. But to do that, we got to break down those core elements of every song. So this is the element number one, and that is lyrics. Now, I say that doesn't mean that's the most important. Every element is important. Doesn't mean it's the first thing that comes. But I'm starting here, okay? I've written songs that started with lyrics, but I've written plenty of songs that just started with a chord progression or a melody or great, you know, beat or rhythm or something like that. This doesn't have to be number one, but let's just start with it. What makes a good lyric? Like so many things in music and in art and life in general, you know it when you hear it. In order to really know it, though, you need experience. You may not have that experience. I do. And it's my job and it is my pleasure and my excitement to give that experience to you so you can save yourself 15, 20 years of development and leap forward to a place of confidence in knowing what makes make good lyrics in any other part of a song. So taking our cue from the three different answers to the rules, it's important to state right off, no rules to writing good lyrics. I think I mentioned that. What doesn't work for one song might just somehow amazingly work for another. Some of lyric writing is inspiration. Some is instinct. Some is trial and error, and a whole lot is objectivity. And then there's style and things like that. My style tends to be don't shy away from intricate lyrics, but they need to be conversational and colloquial, not flowery. That's my personal style. Don't shy away from repetition, but use it only when it's effective and things like that. It's scary because I just mentioned a couple of things and there are hundreds of considerations. How can you be objective about your own work and know, but wait, I want that in there. Does it work? I don't know. You need to be objective though. You need to know how to step back, as I mentioned before, and I know how you can do that without feeling like you're disrespecting your efforts or losing your way or wasting a good idea. How can you tell when a bad idea for one song is the perfect idea for the next song? Moving on to rule answer number two, you know it when it flows. If the lyrics work in the context of the rest of the song, don't question them. Of course, that means you might have to rewrite some original lyrics once the other elements are taking shape. You're always going back and, you know, switching things or whatever it is you need to do to mold it. In fact, that's a hugely vital part of the process. I have pages of lyrics for single songs that I've never used because they didn't work. And then maybe ended up using some of those lyrics for a completely different song. I don't throw anything away. But that one song worked better without those lyrics. And finally, taking into account rule answer number three, lyrics themselves have several elements, and every element of those lyrics matters. Word choice, meaning, sound, fit, flow, again, flow. It's super easy to write lyrics that are great on paper, great on one or two or three of those counts, but maybe fall short on the others. The best advice I can give you about this, and let's say anything ever, is don't give up when you think something sucks or isn't working. That doesn't mean that it's unworthy. If you believe that your original idea has merit, don't you know, get so downtrodden when it's not working that you think, well, maybe it doesn't have merit. It does. If you believed it, then it does. And that means it's worth shaping and shaping and reshaping until it truly works. Also, don't just accept mediocre lyrics by saying, well, I got my idea out and that's good enough for me. You want that idea to shine. You want to do it justice, and you want other people to understand it as much as you do. This is about communication. Investigate. Find the word that doesn't fit or the line that could be shorter or that could be thrown out, the meaning that could be stated in enough of a different way that it smooths out the flow. This is, I mean, one of my favorite things to work on is lyrics. I love weeding out the lyrical garden of a song and landscaping what's left into something so undeniably beautiful that those words deserve the absolute best music to support them. And yeah, it was a tortured metaphor. Probably wouldn't end up in one of my songs. But what about that music? What goes into it? How can you get it all to work together? And that's element number two, which is melody. Melodies to me are like hairstyles in that they frame the lyrical content, which is the face, the presentation, and need to be supported by the song's chords and overall structure, which is the body. They can just as easily call attention away from the substance as they can enhance it. Think of somebody with hair that just doesn't match the face of the body. The hair on its own might be beautiful, but it's not working with the whole. And that can happen with melody. They can overwhelm the structure, or it can just sit sublimely on top of it or call the right attention to the right things. Some of the most beautiful melodies are intricate and wide-ranging. Some of the most effective melodies are the simplest, maybe one or two notes sometimes. How do you know which melody will best fit your song? Take cues from the other song elements. Human speech has its own melodic and rhythmic qualities, so your lyrics might contain the secrets of what melody fits best. Your chord structure plays a huge part in guiding your melodic choices too, and we'll get to chords soon. At the same time, the best melody might be counter to all of that. Hitting a note that's not in that chord. I love doing that when it works. Words and melody are the closest connections to the spirit of your intentions. That's why they're really the only things you need other than structure for a song to be a song. But while words have more tangible connection to meaning, the meaning of how a melody unfolds is esoteric. That means writing a melody is equal parts art and craft. Your job is to stay in touch with the reasons why you're writing your song every step of the way. And my job is to clue you in to when that's happening and when you need to be put back on the path to honor your idea. Of course, that path is much easier to follow when there's roadwork laid out. Another metaphor. The next three elements are the roadwork of a song, and that is element number three is structure. Even if you've never written a song, you already know a lot about this. How do I know this? Have you ever heard music? Do you know what a verse is or a chorus, especially a chorus? You may even know what a bridge is. These are common elements of a song structure. We listen to music in one form or another from birth to death, I would say nearly 100% of people, and can almost always identify a song's chorus at least, maybe more. Use this knowledge to help you shape your songs. Do not worry if your song structure sounds like so many others, because there's a finite number of structures no matter what you read. None of them are proprietary, which is wonderful. You can't copyright a structure. In fact, the reason they're reused so often is because they work. Also, don't worry if you feel like your structure doesn't follow that. It's odd. It goes against conventional wisdom. First, there's an almost 100% chance somebody's done that before. Even if you haven't or you haven't heard it, someone has. I have discovered that so many times that I just take it as a given. Second, as I said before, it is all about flow. If a different structure, an odd structure works, then the song works. And that's all that matters. That said, I can tell you from decades of writing and working with other writers and listening to thousands and thousands of songs that the structure, listen carefully, is often the weakest and most compromised element of people's songwriting. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. People often make choices about their structure that kill a song. Kind of like the filmmaker with the editing issue. They kill the flow, especially for beginning songwriters. So how do you know how many verses you need? When should the choruses come in? What's the purpose of a bridge? Do you need a bridge? How long should any section of a song be? It's all about flow. If one section of a song is too long, the flow lags. If it's too short, it's too herky-jerky and interrupted. But sometimes a longer section works or a shorter section works. And that depends on one or more of the other song elements, including some we haven't gotten to yet. Your job is to know what you want from a song's structure, to decide what parts your lyrics and melody break down to. Oh, these lyrics are a verse. These are a chorus. That's a bridge. It's a slightly different rhythm or whatever you want to say about the cadence, about the lyrics. And melodies are different in different sections most of the time. Not always. My job is to coach you to find the best, most effective version of that structure and to help you hone it so that your end result is as economical and emotionally affecting as possible. Chords are quite possibly the element that's most connected to a song's structure and how it's meant to flow, and so that's why that's element number four. I think chords are magical. And if you're only listening, you should see the magic on my face. Go check out the video. They each have their own personality, especially in context, and the shades of those personalities will change depending on the context. What chords come before or after, and that's called the chord progression. Chord changes. Most songs have more than one chord progression, not all. These progressions are the foundation that supports your ideas. They're what help to give the song its structure. Once you've chosen a key, assuming you want a key, you may not want one. You may be atonal in one way or another, but the key, and we can go over that in the course. Chord progression options start to reveal themselves as soon as you choose that key. This is where things get tricky. Sorry, true. While there's a finite number of chord progressions, again, finite no matter how large that number is, that it's a very, 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 very large number. If you change one chord or even one note in a chord and you've got another option, you can see then how many there are. you can work this element to death and still not feel satisfied. I have found that there have been many songs I enjoy that would have been wonderful that fell under the weight of their chord changes. Or you went to sleep because of the chord changes. They're just this tiny little changes can make a huge difference. And of course, one flow, again, flow is everything. There's a balance between simple and complex chord changes, changes that unfold slowly or rapidly. And what works for one song, again, might not work for another. When I used to teach piano and other instruments, chord theory was my favorite subject and often the one that connected most to my students. And if I had to say one thing about what would help you as a songwriter, knowing the world of chords might be the best thing you can do to develop your songwriting skills. It's not necessary, but it's sort of like lifting weights isn't necessary, but if you do it, it's going to help enhance all the other, you know, aspects of your physicality. Of course, if you do know anything about music theory, you might be asking yourself one huge question. Why haven't I mentioned rhythm yet? Well, now I have, and that's element number 5. Rhythm and tempo give a song life and momentum, or they kill a song before it's even born. Rhythm is the hardest element to learn, and it is definitely the hardest to teach if you don't have it. And since there are several aspects of rhythm, it's all too easy to get lost or overwhelmed, to focus too much on one aspect, to completely forget another. There's the overall rhythm of a song, maybe syncopated, or 4 on the floor. There's the tempo, slow, fast. There's the rhythm of how the chords and melody progress. There's the rhythm of the lyrics inherent in the words, influenced by the melody and the chord structure, and or chosen as a counterpoint to all that by you. Neglect one of these aspects and your song's flow will falter or break down completely. Nail them all and you might have a masterpiece on your hands. You don't need to know music theory, though, to make your rhythm choices. You honestly don't need to know music theory to be a songwriter. There have been so many genius songwriters who didn't know how to read music, didn't know much about theory at all, if anything. Be in touch with your intentions, allow for variation, and that wild idea to pop into your head and inject life into the song, something that seems to defy your structure or intentions. And above all, let the flow tell you where to go. These are instincts I've honed from years of writing and active listening. Active listening is huge. As your coach, I'll pass that knowledge on to you and I will shortcut you to developing these instincts on your own. And here's a secret I'll tell you now. The factor that most influences your rhythm, and in fact every song element we've talked about, is your song's style. So element number 6 is style. What is style? Is it genre, like rock or blues or folk or R&B? Yeah, but not really. Genres are fluid. Many of the greatest songs and artists have incorporated ideas from one genre into whatever their main genre is. Further, as a songwriter, you're free to explore whatever genres you want, even if you're also a performer. For example, your brain might hear heavy metal and think hard-driving rock, but within that world, there are ballads, thrashers, funky songs, straight-ahead songs, conventional songs, surprising songs. Same goes for every single genre and subgenre and future genre. Style goes beyond genre. It's mood, it's history, it's world building. You're building that world of the song. The style you choose or the styles you choose to avoid, which is very important, will make every other choice that much easier. Once you put yourself in a lane, a lot of things fall away and your choices become easier. Despite the familiar tropes, lyrics do not have a style. You think they do because you hear them in the context of song. But have you ever heard a cover of a song done by a completely different kind of artist and somehow it works? You know, if you listen to All Along the Watchtower, Bob Dylan, it sounds like a folk song. It is. And then Jimi Hendrix does it. It sounds like a different kind of song. Lyrics are not style. Melody is also not style. When you're trying to do the road work of chords, structure, and rhythm, which is what we just talked about, you need to know where that road is going. Or not, your muse, that intangible inspiration that brought you to songwriting in the first place, might need to just fly free for a while until it lands, until it becomes clear. Don't predetermine. Sometimes that thing isn't clear yet, and you need to let it unfold. But either way, you will be working within a style, filling in a chosen template, or if you're letting it unfold as you go. Chords may be the element that's most evocative of style because we associate certain progressions with certain genres or moods. if you think of a blues progression, the 1/4s, 5s, or the 1/6, 2/5 of many standards and old rock and roll songs, you know, things lend themselves to different styles. Doesn't mean they can't be used elsewhere, but they evoke that style. This is why knowing chords is so vital to your work and can be so invigorating. Structures change drastically depending on a song's style. Some music is meant to have extra long intros, like shoegaze, or extra long outros, like anthemic rock. Some styles mesh well with longer verses. Others demand more from choruses. Some need repetition, like if you're doing a house song. Some need to have very little repetition. Keeping in mind your song style will make your ability to edit your own song that much less fraught with emotion. You'll know what needs to be cut or changed, because you know what the style is meant to be. And that's why style is so important. Rhythmic elements can cross over from style to style. They're not linked to one style, but some work better than others. It's the most variable and malleable element. Do you want your song to stay in one stylistic lane? Or do you want it to straddle two or more styles? Do you want it to be strident, playful, intricate, straightforward? Rhythm can make a big difference with that. Once you answer these questions or allow the process to unfold them and answer them for you, all these decisions will somehow feel like second nature. They do for me. And my job as your coach is to get you there too. So no matter the style, one idea is universal. A great song can fit into multiple genres. And those genres aren't really fully determined until you decide on an arrangement. Now, let me say here, this next section, and we're almost to the end. We've already talked about what goes into writing a song. And I say that because before we get to arrangement, there's one thing to point out that's very important. Your song is done. If you've taken care of all the things we just talked about, the melody, the lyrics, the rhythm, the chords, structure, all the style, song's done. That's it. Done. It may even be done before some of those, for example, the style or whatever. You may just want to write the template of a song and have an artist help with the style. Who knows? But it's done. Either way, doesn't matter whether or not it's arranged or produced. Once you've carefully considered all the above elements, you don't need technically to do anything else. You are a songwriter. Unless you don't want it to be the end of your process and your journey. If you're like me, a song isn't really alive until it's shared, whether that's live or recorded. Sharing a song gets at the essence of all art, which is communication. Don't let anybody tell you it's anything but that. And while the most important part of communication is the substance, what you're saying, how you communicate matters, because that will influence the impression you make and even which people hear and understand what you're doing. The style of that communication comes from the road work elements, the chords, structure, and rhythm that begin to pinpoint a song's character and audience. The substance is the melody and lyrics, right? But like anyone who communicates, you need to figure out how you're presenting yourself. So the arrangement of a song is its presentation. It's the outfit a song wears when it's going out and meeting the world. It will make a big difference in who the song reaches, who it affects, how it's heard and understood, and how quickly it's heard and understood. Think of an a cappella song as naked. Lyrics and melody flowing along a certain rhythm and structure. No other indicators. Add an acoustic guitar, or piano, or an electronic beat, or any instrument to the presentation, and you're making a choice about how this song will make its impression. Play or record that song with bass, drums, and guitar, or piano and string trio, some full ensemble, and you're making an even more specific and concrete impression. Which instruments you choose and how they go together to support the song and get it across to an audience, that's the arrangement. A great song can sound however you want it to. I have performed and recorded songs with several different arrangements, the same song with several arrangements, and those songs have always worked, no matter the arrangement, because the core song is good. The integrity of the song is sound. Strictly speaking, arrangement is an after element. It's after element number one of two, but it's not necessary, but it makes a difference. It clues in the audience more to where you're coming from and how it connects to other music they already know. So your choices matter. If performance is your be-all and end-all, again, you wowed the audience, you love the feedback, you're more than satisfied, you're done. But if you want to reach a wider audience, people that aren't in that room or wherever it is you're performing or online, or you feel like you shine better in the studio than in performance, then let's talk about one more thing, which is production. Production I love the recording studio. I often call myself a studio rat because that's my favorite place. That's where I thrive more than anything. When I write a song, I can hear the complete recording in my head. I am so passionate about it that I need the song to be heard in that way. First and foremost, other than the other arrangements, I want people to know that's the essence of that song. The production goes along with that, so people get the most comprehensive impression possible. All the better to understand my point of view and what the kind of music I love and want to be a part of. Production is not songwriting. It's not necessary. It's an after element number two. Unless you want your song to reach across the world and across time, however, then it is necessary. And you've come to the right coach, because not only do I have extensive experience with songwriting, I've got at least as much extensive experience with production. When you produce, you're choosing what instruments, when they play, how loud or soft, how clean or dirty, whether they're left, right, center in the mix, if any of your melody is to be harmonized and or sung by someone else, even the precise tone and quality of every part played. If arrangements have 10 things to consider, productions have, let's say, 1,000. And the decisions you make are far more permanent than what happens live. So consider production as the next level of arrangement. If an arrangement is the song's clothing, then production is the photo or video shoot of that outfit. Production preserves your idea of how your song should sound, enhances that idea in the way proper lighting and setting enhance a photo or video, and helps your song reach the audience you want it to. You might ask then, is production just a more detailed and well-considered version of arrangement? Yes and no. If your goal is just to capture the essence of that live performance, then yes, it's pretty much the process of recording the arrangement you chose and just tweaking what you needs to be tweaked for, you know, recording and listening purposes. But production can be way more than that. It can bring in ideas and references that further enhance the sound and the meaning of a song, referencing another song subtly, things like that. It can add layers of discovery. It can boost the energy and the flow. It can often even justify choices you made earlier in the process that weren't clear, that seemed like they weren't working until you hear it in the mix. Now, great production can't make a bad song good. It can only sometimes make a good song great. But it can very often make a great song legendary. That's what I love about production. Setting aside all the tech considerations, which this course doesn't really cover unless you want me to, and then you let me know as we're working. Most important part of producing is knowing how to make hard choices. Again, you can discover in a production when a section is too long, or if you think it's not too long, then what you need to add to make it work with that length. You might realize that a lyric that passed by unassumingly when you did it live sticks out like a sore thumb in a recording, or that you like that it sticks out and you want it to stick out even more. And these are just two examples of hundreds of ways production can shine a revealing light on your creation, on your composition, and ultimately make a great song even better and more powerful. The best production understands the song's original intent, serves the song on every level, doesn't try to turn it into something it isn't or can't be. Your job is to know why you wrote your song and to shout out when something doesn't sound right to you. My job is to help you discover all of that and to produce your song exactly how you hear it in your head, even if you never knew that's how you heard it. Yes, a lot to take in, and it might be why so many people never get around to finishing that song that's always been inside of them. And it's also why I'm here. So some final thoughts as we're wrapping up here. Why do you need a song coach? If the first rule is that there are no rules, then why can't you just write your song however you want? Well, you can. But why aren't you? That's the question I can't answer for you. You're stymied, you're stumped, you're scared. As for all the other questions, that's why I'm here. The rules might be malleable, but every decision matters. The path to get there matters. Every step you take, every element of the song creation process can be broken down to even more elements and broken down yet again until you get so lost in nearly infinite options that it makes decision fatigue seem like vacation. This is not where I live anymore. And I can get you out of that world too. I've abandoned songs, though, in my past that have never seemed to come together. I'd get exhausted from trying to work and rework and decide and redecide and just throw my hands up and move on. It's true that some of the most iconic songs were written in 10 minutes. It's also true that some of the most lasting music would have never seen the light of day if the creator hadn't persevered through massive amounts of struggle, sometimes years and years, just to find the right voice for that song, the right path. But what's truer than both of those things are two other things. One, giving up or never even starting will ensure that you will fail and your song will die, will never live. And number two, those people who persevered had the strength and belief in themselves and their work to see it through. And very often that's because they had help getting there. They had a mentor. They had a coach. And I am that person you are looking for. I can make sure you don't get lost and don't want to quit or don't quit. I don't create these songs for you. Let me be clear. I may not even create them with you. I am there to coach you and teach you how to create them for yourself. They are your song. They're not our song. Step by step, and only move forward when that next step gets you closer to that origin point that connects that finally completed song to the idea and inspiration you've had inside you all along. I'm going to leave you with two notes. First, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. You've heard it before. It bears repeating. Every part of a song matters, but if what's holding you back is you don't feel your lyrics are ready or your music can't find the right lyrics, then you're finding reasons not to finish, plain and simple. You don't know how great your song might be until it all comes together. Set aside your self-criticism and get it done. Just finish. Second, music doesn't exist in the vacuum. People constantly, I'm not original. I'm not unique. Don't worry about being unique because you already are. Your version of whatever you think you're copying will not be the same as that thing or as anybody else's copy of that thing because nothing else comes from you. Reuse what moves you. There's a Bowie quote about, you know, the good artists borrow, great artists steal, something like that. But if you do it in the right way, they call it interpolation or just repurposing, or they, if you reuse what moves you with respect and love and make it your own, then it is your own. And one final thing before we wrap this up, and that is go out there. One, this is my homework for you. Before you even hire me, listen to as much music as you can find. Don't sequester yourself. Do it now. Let that music spark ideas. Teach you what works and what doesn't. Teach you what you want to, world you want to be a part of, what musical world, and what you wish was different so then you make it different in your own music. It inspires you to want to be part of the mix of music in this world. Active listening is as important as anything else I just said. I look forward to hearing what you come up with, and I look forward to help you getting there. NickDiMatteo.com/songcoaching. Thanks for hanging with me for this podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.